Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Americans freed from Russia. I'm Michelle Franzen. A multi-country's prisoner swap today, not seen since the Cold War. The U.S., Russia, and European nations agreeing to the exchange of 24 prisoners, including three Americans. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich, former Marine Paul Whelan, Russian-American journalist Alsu Kermasheva, and American green card holder Vladimir Kara-Murza. Earlier, President Biden at the White House praising leaders and was surrounded by their families.
Families and I were able to speak to them on the telephone from the Oval Office. They're out of Russia. Earlier today, they were flown to Turkey.
Former President Trump, who said he was the only one who could secure the Americans' release, criticized the prisoner swap and called for more details. President Biden responding to Trump's criticism, telling reporters,
"Why didn't he do it, President?"
The president, along with Vice President Kamala Harris, will meet with the Americans when they return to U.S. soil. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest polls show Vice President Kamala Harris pulling ahead of Donald Trump in Wisconsin since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson College poll has Harris beating Trump here by 2 points. So does the Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. Wisconsin's fall primary is less than 2 weeks away. Local election officials and voters are learning new ballots, guidelines, and procedures. Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Ann Jacobs says some results may not be known until hours after the polls close.
People should expect, if the race is close, that Milwaukee will be tallying until the early morning hours. And I want people to know that now so that we don't have these silly rumors and conspiracy theories going on in November.
Jacobs speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLZX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Vice President Kamala Harris is visiting the area next week after she selects her running mate. Harris, the presumptive Democratic nominee for president, will begin a multi-state tour of swing states beginning Tuesday in Philadelphia. Harris and her vice presidential pick will appear in Eau Claire on Wednesday afternoon. Harris was in La Crosse 3 months ago to talk about health care and reproductive health issues and held her first rally as the leading Democratic presidential candidate in West Allis last week. After a state Supreme Court decision made ballot drop boxes legal again, some places in West Central Wisconsin will make them available for this month's primary. However, some areas won't use them. In La Crosse and West Salem, there won't be any drop boxes on the 13th for your ballot. Holman will accept ballots in the utility payment drop box, but city officials there said they prefer ballots to be returned in person. In Onalaska, ballot drop boxes will be an option for voters both in August and in November. For WLCX 1490 The Eagle, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Packers training camp continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had a long practice in pads under the hot sun. Quarterback Jordan Love on how the offense is coming along in his second year as the starter.
We have a lot more chemistry together. We're still working through a lot of things as offense, building that chemistry, just understanding where we need to be on plays, the timing of plays, things like that, what we like versus certain coverages. So I think it's definitely still a work in progress. But compared to last year, I think there's a lot less question marks. Guys understand where we need to be a lot better, and we have a better feel for the offense. But we got to keep building on every day.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Braves 6-2. Starter Freddy Peralta held Atlanta to just three hits, but two of them were back-to-back home runs. The Braves lead the league in that category. Pat Murphy.
I thought he was great. He gutted it out. He gave up the back-to-backs, and this team is, that lineup's pretty impressive. I thought Freddy did really good. Six innings. I'll take that anytime, the way he went through it, and especially the way he closed it out.
They head to Washington to play the Nationals tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. We'll be in the low, maybe into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Tomorrow, sunny and warm with a high in the upper 80s to right around 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 76.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm sitting in the theater, Conrad. I'm alone. A couple walks in. Where do you think they sat?
Right in front of you.
Right in front of me. You moron. How can you... Spatial awareness. My goodness. Next day, I go to this bathroom. There's like 7 urinals. I'm all the way down on the end. Where do you think this person came in? Not right next to me, but enough where it was weird.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer joins us from the recombobulation area. We learn more details about President Biden's efforts to free hostages held in Russia. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This afternoon on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's on vacation this week, and I'm happy to be able to sub for her as I did yesterday and the day before. And I'm joined, as always, by the great Brian Kelly. Fancy Brian, as he's known around here. He's not only the engineer, he's a producer, he helps with program directing. You know, he's out there with scotch tape and duct tape fixing the equipment. He does it all around here.
Sometimes literally. But this time was not a scotch tape job. It was just a little bit of a monitor and computer setup. We're making this studio even cooler than it already is.
I don't know. I should have spot you when you got up on that table. That was a little scary.
I am more nimble than it. My physique might land you to believe.
I don't think I've done a good job of just spotting you anyway. I'm gonna got the worst of that.
Physics does work on my side, being 300 pounds.
I won't quote you on that.
Yeah, 335.
You don't look a donut over 300.
No, it's not. It's more of a couple briskets over 300, man.
So we're back here. We were thrilled to have some news break while we were on yesterday afternoon when Donald Trump was making a whole mess of himself there at the National Association of Black Journalists, which is kind of fun to watch. They're not backpedaling. They never retract. They never backpedal. But it was a horrible day for him. And, you know, in political campaigns, I've talked to political campaign managers over the years, and they usually, you know, tally day by day. Did we win today or did we lose today? It was definitely a loss for Trump yesterday. And actually, in the 10 days since Kamala Harris has essentially become the nominee of the Democratic Party, it's been 10 good days in a row. And there's nothing but good days ahead in the short term anyway. She's going to announce her VP candidate on Monday, and then they're going to get a lot of buzz and a lot of publicity for that week. And then the DNC is going to start shortly thereafter, and that's going to give the Democrats a bounce too. So it's like Trump's facing 30 bad days in a row. I mean, talk about losing momentum.
That's a shame. You know, it's just
couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Poor guy. And don't forget that not only will she pick the VP, but then they're going to be here in Western Wisconsin.
They're here on Wednesday, I think, right? Eau Claire.
We're playing Western Wisconsin roulette here.
It's been revealed.
It's Eau Claire?
Our caller was correct.
Yeah, we told you. All right. I mean, I didn't call it, but we told you.
Yeah, we had a caller from Western Wisconsin, from Eau Claire, who was saying, come to Eau Claire. We've got a brand new auditorium, I guess, something up there.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
I love UW Eau Claire. But, yeah, she guessed right. So Kamala Harris coming to Eau Claire, I think, on Wednesday. I wanted to give our listeners, Brian, a chance to hear Kamala Harris's response to the outrageous comments that Donald Trump made. I thought she handled it really well. Let's see what people think.
She didn't yell or scream at him and say, yell it and deny everything? Huh. Let's see.
No, and I want the listener, if you're listening in your car and you're not in the middle of driving 80 miles an hour on the on 90 or 94 on the Beltline. And don't do that on the Beltline, by the way. Call us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, because this is the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842. And you can always call us and tell us what you think about this controversy that Donald Trump made up all by himself. Here's Kamala Harris.
This afternoon...
They knew what was coming.
Donald Trump spoke at the annual meeting of the National Association of Black Journalists. And it was the same old show.
I don't know how she could get show off.
And the disrespect. And let me just say, the American people deserve better. Mm-hmm. The American people deserve better. The American people deserve a leader who tells the truth, a leader who does not respond with hostility and anger when confronted with the facts. We deserve a leader who understands that our differences do not divide us. They are an essential source of our strength.
I love the temperate tone there. I mean, it was in such contrast to Trump's behavior and tone and attitude, and stressing how much disrespect he has, how much divisiveness he sowed, not only with those comments, but all his comments over the last 8.5 years since he came down that escalator. I just got to believe that a majority of the American people just want to turn the page on that. Enough already. Even if you voted for him in 2016, even if you voted for him in 2020, do you really want more of this nonsense and chaos and disrespect and name calling and narcissism, or do you want to just move on?
You ever played Cards Against Humanity?
It was.
Are you familiar with the game?
Yes, at Thanksgiving it wasn't very appropriate with the difference of ages.
By the way, I've played the family version of this. It is worse. It is absolutely worse because the innuendo is worse. But for those of you who know Cards Against Humanity, it's really funny for the first like round or two, maybe three, and then it's just like, oh, my dad's stupid effing face. Ha, ha, ha. And it just isn't as fun anymore, even if it is kind of ha, ha.
Yeah, and for people who wanted, you know, to shake things up in 2016, I get that. For people who are sick of politics as usual and politicians as usual, and they thought Joe Biden was just a cutout of a politician, and they didn't like Hillary Clinton for whatever reason, I get all that. We tried this already, though. We did this. We saw this. We lived through this Trump soap opera. And do you really want to see another episode? I sure don't.
No. But in case you were worried that he might have learned anything, or moved back on his rhetoric and everything, he did have a rally later on that day, and he thought fit to make a joke, and it wasn't about the black journalists, I just want to say, but he totally learned his lesson about tone and appropriateness, because this is the joke that he made at that time.
Corey's wife said, "I'd rather have my husband." Isn't that good? I know a lot of wives that would not say that. I'm sorry. They would not say that. But no, it's a great family. He was a great man. He was a brave man. He saw what was happening, and he jumped on top.
Joking about
the guy who jumped widow. On his family and got shot for it.
He's just got no class whatsoever. We got Jack from Merrimack on the line, and you too can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. But I want to hear from you, Jack. What's on your mind?
Well, you mentioned earlier some people are getting, you know, tired of this constant political stuff. And, you know, we in Wisconsin, we've got, you know, election after election after election. I just want to say something, and that is a quote, I think it was from Plato, and I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but it says something like the price that good men pay for ignoring public affairs is to be ruled by bad men. We've got to make sure that we get out and vote and get rid of these bad men, period. End of my rant for the day.
I just found the quote, thanks to Google. Plato, the price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. And Trump is evil. And I don't use that term very often, but or let's just put it another way. He is the ugliest of ugly Americans of all time. Thanks for the call, Jack, from Merrimack, one of our loyal listeners here on the Maggie Dawn Show and the Civic Media Radio Network. If you want to weigh in on Trump and his pathetic performance at the National Association of Black Journalists yesterday, give us a call, 855-752-4842. I thought that Pete Buttigieg had a good reaction to Trump yesterday. He kind of was echoing what you and I were talking about yesterday, Brian, that Trump can't help himself. He wants to be, you know, the center of attention again. So he said something crazy to get to be the center of attention again.
He just needs to be. Please, everybody, look at me, and I'll scream and cry and whine until everybody looks at me. And for whatever reason, people are like, that's great. I like that in a person.
But, you know, his supporters are there, the Trump supporters, Charlie Kirk, hideous right-wing Charlie Cook, saying Trump showed us a masterclass yesterday. That I think the memo went out that you got to say masterclass, because shortly thereafter, Carolyn Leavitt, Trump's campaign press secretary, said, again, used the masterclass term. He put on a masterclass yesterday.
Wow, a masterclass.
She did say something that was actually true, though, the press secretary. She said he was still his authentic self. Yes, that was the authentic Donald Trump we
saw. That's the guy.
You know, where was the guy who had this transformation after the assassination attempt? Where was, we're going to lower the political rhetoric, we're going to be kinder and gentler? Didn't happen.
I don't think he's capable of it, because that would mean putting the focus on anyone else but himself.
It was never a good bet that it was going to happen. I mean, this guy is not going to change his spots. And the campaign now, I almost feel bad for the campaign managers who are professional people.
Nope.
I don't feel bad for them.
You said, hey, yes. Great for me.
They sold their soul, no doubt about that, Brian. So one of the advisors says, we're not going to shy away from his comments. Of course, they had to say that.
You can't, because there's no way you're going to get him to back up. You're on the train, and it's going, and it ain't stopping.
I mean, the only thing that they could do is resign, which would have been the only decent thing to do. But if they had any decency, they never would have taken the job in the first place. Hey, I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined by the great Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Suburban women, will you please like me?
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Where do grown-ups go in the water park capital of the world? Well, go to a water park. You'll find one nearly everywhere you go. Go relax in a cabana. Go golfing. Going for a nice dinner? Oh, go for the special. Go for the weekend. Heck, why not go for the whole week? Go to a show. Go shopping. Go tour a winery. Wow, we're really on the go. Say, I could go for a beer. Need a day at the spa? Go for it. Wisconsin Dells, it's go time. Plan your grown-up getaway at wisdells.com.
Life hack number 7, get an iPhone 12 on Straight Talk.
Life hack.
Here's how it works. You walk into Walmart, go to the electronics section, ask for iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system, and select the new Silver Unlimited plan. They'll smile because it's a good plan. You get real unlimited data all for just $20 a month for the whole first year. Get it at Walmart or StraightTalk.com. Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Taxes and fees apply. Requires activation of iPhone 12 and a new Silver Unlimited plan or higher end auto pay enrollment. $25 a month service credit applied for up to 12 months if eligibility requirements are met. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here. Thanks for listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's on vacation, so I'm sitting in for her and having fun here with Brian Kelly in the booth. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. A program note, at about 2:34, I'm going to have former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Gieske on to talk about the U.S. Supreme Court reforms that President Biden unveiled earlier this week. I wanted to get her take on it. And then at about 3:06, we're going to have Matt Moreno, who's chair of the Waukesha County Democratic Party, see how things are going with the renewed enthusiasm that's out there for the possibility that the Democrats actually may get across the finish line and defeat Donald Trump, which I'm hoping and praying for. And I'm not a praying person, but I'm doing everything I can to hope that that comes to pass.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as praying goes, I'm praying to my Lord and Savior, which is Dionysus. And I thank you for bringing that up. I'd like to take this moment to say that when I do worship my Lord and Savior, Dionysus, I'm going to need a day off afterwards. Religious holiday, of course.
Recovery time.
Recovery from my spiritual experience.
You know, I mentioned Pete Buttigieg had this response to what Trump was saying over there at the National Association of Black Journalists. Here's Buttigieg. I think precisely because it's going so well for Kamala Harris out of the gate, I expect that Trump and his Republican Party will get crazier. The more she pulls ahead, and she is pulling ahead now in some polls, the more you're going to see Trump revert to the only thing he knows how to do when he wants to get attention, which is get more and more outrageous. Pete knows this guy, too. It's not just Kamala who knows the type. Pete knows the type.
Yeah, and it's not like the people there are going to go, wow, I'm offended by this, because it's not like it's anything new. And it's, I honestly don't even think that, here's the stupid part about the whole thing. I don't think he actually meant anything horrible by it. Like, I don't think he actually thought in his mind, I'm going to say something mean right now. He thought he was being funny and clever and they were in on the joke.
Well, if that's true, I mean, he's even more off the base than you think, but, part of it was he got flustered right away because someone challenged him. Someone challenged him who was a woman. Someone challenged him who was a person of color. And he doesn't like any of those three things to happen. And he just kind of totally lost it. And, you know, it's just amazing to see. There's been a funny meme on Twitter that Roy Wood Jr., the stand-up comedian, started with hashtag when I turned black, and then all these people are weighing in with funny comments about when I turned black, because Trump, of course, asked yesterday, when did Kamala Harris turn black? And so when I came into the studio today, I asked Brian, who is a stand-up comedian himself, have you done stand-up?
I did, and it's not my thing. I'm not good. I'm good at bouncing things off. I'm a really good number two. Like, I'm a good Chewbacca. I'm a good Samwise Gamgee. I'm not the Frodo. I'm not the Han Solo, but I learned that from trying to do stand-up.
So Brian's done some stand-up. He's a professional actor, by the way. So I come in here and I say, you know, who's this Roy Wood Jr. guy? And, of course, Brian knew him.
Oh, yeah. Roy Wood Jr. is awesome. Daily Show guy and a huge Cubs fan, which makes me excited.
And so I went to Google and got a little clip from Roy Wood Jr., just about 15 seconds. We'll give you a sample.
If we get rid of the Confederate flag, how am I going to know who the dangerous white people are? I'm just saying, the flag had a couple upsides. Let's just be real about it.
I mean, it's not a surprise that the Confederate flag was being carried around on January 6th. Those people are still fighting the Civil War. There's a bunch of people in this country still fighting the Civil War.
Just so we're clear, that is the flag of an enemy combatant.
And, I mean, they were traitors to this country. And of course, Trump wants to pardon them. Pardon them all. He says they were all...
The ones that are innocent. And
even though they've been
they
convicted.
Were convicted, and he closed his eyes as if she didn't say anything, and then moved on.
But they were convicted under a very tough system. Yeah, that's the very tough system that has, you know, caused mass incarceration for black and brown folks all over this country for the last 30, 40 years during the war on drugs.
Yeah, and all because Nixon wanted to be elected. What a wonderful time. Oh, and then they sold drugs to the inner city, and then they said, war on drugs now. I learned it by watching you is really what it comes down to. I learned it by watching you guys.
So, I mean, that's Trump's dealing with that. And he's, you know, he keeps repeating he's going to pardon everyone. I'm sure he will. I'm sure he'll pardon everyone who was convicted. He'll drop, of course, the investigations into himself, and he'd pardon himself if he has to. And this guy has never had any accountability in his 77 years. He's always been the super rich, spoiled little brat who could bully his way out, bribe his way out, have daddy's money get him out of any trouble that there ever was. And so the idea that some black woman journalist is going to ask not even a hostile question, just a question that any professional journalist would ask, just got so far under his skin that he had to just explode with all his ugliness. Or as his spokesperson said, he was still his authentic self. I just love that line.
It's exactly it. If you want to put a button on that and just circle it and go, this is exactly what white fragility is. That's the thing. And by the way, let's use this moment. Maggie Dawn did an interview with Robin DiAngelo, the author of White Fragility, and we'll be airing that on Monday. You should definitely listen to that. I'll be taking calls the last half hour afterwards. It's amazing. And by the way, what Donald Trump did and the exact way he reacted was textbook white fragility there. Because rather than responding to the things in real time and listening to the person, you thought it was all about you and made it as if someone was attacking you. It's amazing.
And for Trump, it's always about him. That's his narcissism, too. It's not just his racism. It's not just his jerkism. It's, you know, his narcissism. I mean, he can't help himself. And that's why I think Buttigieg is absolutely correct. The more he starts to slip in this race, the uglier and uglier it's going to get. His surrogates are going to get ugly. I mean, we had J.D. Vance, of all people, calling Kamala Harris a chameleon yesterday when J.D. Vance has changed his name like six times, changed his story like six times.
By the way, it's worth pointing out that J.D. Vance grew up Catholic. And what's that whole organization is run by what kind of people are they? Celibate, and
they don't have a lot of kids.
That's huh.
Funny how that is. Yeah, J.D. Vance has changed his position on Trump. First, he called him America's Hitler, and now he's his vice presidential candidate.
Nothing's more zealous than no one's more zealous than a convert, huh?
Chameleon, man. J.D. Vance lives in the original glass house. I wouldn't be throwing stones, J.D. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in for Maggie, who's on vacation today. I'm speaking with Brian Kelly. We're taking your calls, too. I wanted to thank Jack for his call in the previous few minutes. And we'll be right back with former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Gieske.
You. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Thursday. Today we're checking in with Chris and Jenny Reichert of Reichert Land and Cattle in Sheboygan Falls. They've been awarded the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association Environmental Stewardship Award, and some of the practices on the farm have helped them during this wet spring and summer. We'll talk about it next.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Chris and Jenny Reichert of Reichert Land and Cattle in Sheboygan Falls tell us that rotational grazing was beneficial with the tremendous amounts of rainfall we've had.
I think the biggest thing we've seen is actually this past spring and how beneficial it was. You know, we've had really tremendous amounts of rainfall since basically May on, and the minimal water runoff that we saw coming off the pasture was pretty impressive. The water that was running off was very clean, not very dirty. Unfortunately, that has kind of hampered our grazing rotation because of how wet things have been. But, you know, we've been blessed with a bountiful amount of grass. And now that we are out grazing, we're kind of seeing the benefits of having that there.
Chris and Jenny Reichert are the recipients of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association Environmental Stewardship Award. We'll take a look at more agribusiness news next.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
A name that's familiar to many of us, especially during campfire season, Smokey the Bear. He is turning 80 this year, and the Wisconsin DNR is hosting birthday party events for Smokey at various parks around the state. For 80 years, Smokey the Bear has been helping kids and adults understand the basics of wildfire prevention. If you're heading out this weekend, remember to keep fires manageable, have water and tools on hand to keep the fire in control, and never leave your fire unattended. Search the Wisconsin DNR events calendar online to see if any Smokey the Bear birthday celebrations are happening near you. That's what's going on a Thursday. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. We'll be in the low, maybe into the mid-80s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Tomorrow, sunny and warm with a high in the upper 80s to right around 90. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Right now, it's 76.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM WLCX, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tellerico, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot talks Twisters, and the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser joins the show to talk film.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Good afternoon. It's Matt Ryan subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show, all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in the great state of Wisconsin on a gray and muggy day. Hope this mugginess breaks soon. And I invite you to join our conversation by dialing or texting 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We did get a text from Wes in Middleton who said, this is going to become a negative feedback loop of Trump slipping in the polls, becoming more and more unhinged, slipping further and further in the polls. I look forward to the show, he says. I just hope nobody gets hurt. They're a rabid, violent bunch, these MAGAs, and they don't lose with grace. No, I don't expect, and thanks for the text, Wes, I really appreciate it. I don't expect Trump to leave with any grace whatsoever. He showed us last time around that he'll refuse to leave with any grace. And he will try to swindle his way into office. And I worry that he's going to create some violence in this country, the likes of which we haven't seen for a long, long time. And so that's the concern. But I appreciate you weighing in on it, Wes. Now I am delighted to have as a guest the former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske, who was appointed to the court by Tommy Thompson in 1993. Justice Geske then won in 1994 and served until 1998 when she decided it wasn't for her and she wanted to do something else. She was a longtime professor of law at Marquette and longtime director of the Andrew Center for Restorative Justice in Marquette, which she's retired from, but she's still hanging around Marquette. You'll see her there sometimes. So, Justice Geske, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you, Matt. Thanks for asking me.
You know, I've wanted to talk to you for a long time, in part just out of curiosity, to ask you whether you ever regretted leaving the court and wished you'd stayed on longer for some of these battles that have been going on with such heat over the last, 25 years?
Do you want the real answer? No.
Sure. Yeah, I do want the real answer.
No. Personally, it was the right decision. And I've been able to do so many wonderful, exciting things working in prisons and working with victims of crime that I made the right decision for me. But I certainly stay closely connected and watching what's happening at the court and stay in touch with some of my former colleagues.
It's been something to watch, both the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. So I wanted to start with the U.S. Supreme Court, since it's been in the news, thanks to President Biden's decision to make some reform proposals, which he'd been hinting at, even in his talk where he said he wasn't going to run for re-election. He hinted he was going to have some U.S. Supreme Court reforms to unveil, and Lord knows he unveiled them earlier this week. I want to hear the first one that he talked about, Brian.
As soon as I came to office, I convened a bipartisan presidential commission on the Supreme Court of the United States, comprised of leading constitutional scholars, both liberal and conservative, to provide recommendations on potential reforms to the court. I've been careful in these deliberations because these are serious, serious decisions. In the face of increasing threats to American democratic institutions, I use the commission's analysis. And today I'm calling for three bold reforms to restore trust and accountability to the court and our democracy.
And so the three reforms were a proposal to amend the U.S. Constitution with a amendment that he called the No One is Above the Law amendment that would overturn the immunity decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. The second one was for term limits, 18 years, letting the president appoint one justice every 2 years, and then the third would be the enactment of a code of conduct. Justice Geske, I wanted to ask you about the first one, but the predicate for the first reform is the outrageous decision by Chief Justice John Roberts in the immunity case. And I was naive. I thought he was a more moderate guy, I guess, or certainly a more cagey Chief Justice, who wouldn't want to go down in the history books, is the guy who said we're no longer a country of laws, we're a country of one supreme man when that, or woman, when that person's in the Oval Office. So that was just such a shocking decision to me. What was your reaction to it?
Oh, yeah, utterly surprised and shocked. You know, most legal scholars were pretty sure they were not going to give immunity. You know, the Federal Court of Appeals had decided it unanimously, saying there's no immunity. And most people thought, well, maybe they won't even take it because it's such an obvious decision. And then they took it and came out with their primarily 6-3 decision. There are some provisions, and I'm happy to talk about them, that are really shot on top of just giving immunity for official acts, which, you know, you can argue about, but they also padded that decision with other aspects of law that's absolutely going to protect the president from any kind of criminal prosecution, even things that are related to the presidency. So it's a very distressing decision. Mm-hmm.
Well, do you want to get into some of those details? Sure. What were things that offended you?
Sure. Well, what the big holding is that a president's official acts are immune from any kind of prosecution. But then they went into detail to say, well, what are official acts? And they, without directly saying it, they're saying things like, well, talking to the vice president is official act. You know, well, the allegation about talking to the vice president was to threaten him that if he didn't reverse the election, you know, he was going to do something. And then the fact that he was checking on Georgia's votes, you know, could be part of his official act. And so therefore probably is immune. So they extended it beyond things that he just does in the Oval Office, in the ordinary course of things, but acts that most people would find highly objectionable. And then they said, you're not going to be able to introduce any of those official acts against him or her in a trial against him or her. So, for example, if they decided that maybe they should try the case on the Georgia call, what the court basically said was you can't introduce all the other things he did in the White House concerning that decision. And so, it's going to be hard to prove all these statements about the election was rigged and it was stolen and all these things the government couldn't use against them. So you have to do this in isolation, this phone call. And then they said, you can't look at motive. What was the motive for the call? Well, the motive for the call to Georgia was to upset that election. But you can't introduce, I mean, it's really unusual for the U.S. Supreme Court to get down into the weeds and talk about evidence and burden and how you look at these things. And, I mean, they did remand it to the appellate, the trial judge, to sort of determine what's official or not. But the language is so strong that it really does protect the president almost for anything he or she does in office.
Yeah, Justice Geske, it made me wonder why we even need to have an office of White House counsel now, because everything the president does is de facto legal.
Yeah, I know. And you know, we can think, well, we've seen already some of the things that a president can do. And, now there's no limit. I mean, whatever he or she wants to do, they're going to be protected if they can kind of call it official business. You know, I think another place that it'll come up if he ever goes to trial are the taking the classified documents. Was that a part of his presidential official duties to take those and therefore not criminal? And so, it's going to be very distressing if that decision stands. And so I'm really thrilled that President Biden, that's one of the things he took on. But we're going to need a constitutional amendment to change that, I think. There can be litigation on whether a statutory change is enough, but I think probably an amendment. And it's going to take a while before we're going to have a Congress that's going to get that through.
Well, that's the problem. It takes so long. It's 2/3 majority, correct, in both chambers of the Congress, and then 3/4 of the states have got to ratify. And that's a long process. It's not impossible. We've done it 27 times, but it needs to get done. And otherwise we have, just a president with royal powers. I mean, this was the crassest political decision by the U.S. Supreme Court since Bush v. Gore, anyway. And
yeah,
it was amazing.
They went way out of their league. And, you know, there's no precedent for it. There are no cases that say there's immunity for a president. I mean, they just made it up out of whole cloth. The only little saving grace in terms of the future is that Amy Coney Barrett did disagree with part of that decision. It doesn't affect the vet because they still had five people, but she disagreed on the questions of whether you could introduce official acts to prove unofficial acts and whether you could introduce motive. And so she disagreed with that evidence part.
Do you know her? I've been kind of surprised in a happy way at some of her, not only her partial departure on this case, but some other decisions votes that she's made.
I do not know her personally, but I have a friend who's very close to her and who has a lot of respect for her. It's interesting because when people get into those positions, particularly U.S. Supreme Court, where they have the lifetime appointment unless things change, you can see them sometimes moving either to the middle or off of the philosophical view they have it. And we're seeing that happen with her. I mean, she initially was deciding, voting with the other, you know, quote unquote conservatives, but she's slowly kind of moving to the middle a little bit. And even on the dissenting side once in a while. So it's going to be interesting to watch her. I think that she probably won't be as predictable as some of the others are in these cases.
And I have a hunch too, both as it relates to the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the functioning of the U.S. Supreme Court, that sometimes personalities play a part, that, you know, caustic, kind of rude or mean behavior by one justice or another to someone who isn't agreeing, or maybe in personal interactions too, that can push a justice in a different direction. Does that ever happen?
Well, I don't think anybody would ever admit that happened. It's hard sometimes, you know, when you've got somebody who's being way out of line in civility and attacking. But ultimately, you know, people have taken an oath to follow the law. It's much more likely that you wind up having those fights over philosophical differences. But I don't think people tend to do that. I do think that courts, unfortunately, have moved into partisan politics way beyond what our founders envisioned and way beyond what I think is appropriate as that third branch of government. They are supposed to be independent and be able to keep a check on the other two branches. And we've been in trouble in that at the U.S. Supreme Court and sometimes at our own state Supreme Court.
Yeah. So on the term limit issue, we can start that conversation. We're going to have to take a break in a second. But what's your feeling on term limits?
Well, I think it's not a bad idea. You know, because the justices didn't used to stay as long as they do. And now this lifetime appointment, it was supposed to keep them independent from politics and be above it. Well, it's not working, right, for a variety of reasons. And, you know, 18 years, you get a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom. But, you know, the court changes every time somebody new comes in. And the interesting part of President Biden's proposal on that is that somebody comes up every 2 years. And so that the court would always change. And I can tell you, even from my own experience in Wisconsin, when somebody new comes in, everybody readjusts. You have to re-explain why you do things the way you do. You may look at it differently. And so I think it's a real healthy thing to do. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not likely, but I think it's a good suggestion.
I'd like to see it happen, too. We'll be back with more with Justice Jeanine Gieske, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, talking with us here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Nowadays, these partisan feelings are so strong that people have lost any sense of justice.
Eagle 1490 AM.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Matt Rothschild with you this afternoon. I'm subbing for Maggie here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. I joined for the next few minutes still by Wisconsin Supreme Court former Justice Jeanine Geske, who's been over at Marquette for the last 25 years as a law professor and as a director, now retired, of the Andrews Center for Restorative Justice. Thanks for hanging around, Justice Geske.
Sure.
I wanted to bring up the code of conduct issue, which was the third reform that President Biden unveiled earlier this week. Context in the Wisconsin area is that you signed on to a letter from 54 retired judges in Wisconsin urging the Wisconsin Supreme Court several years ago to adopt a code of conduct. And the context for that was that there was a special prosecutor who was investigating Scott Walker, who had urged a couple of the justices to recuse themselves because they had a conflict of interest in this case, because they had gotten money from Wisconsin manufacturers, or their campaigns had benefited from money from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and Wisconsin Club for Growth, millions of dollars, actually. And both of those entities were under investigation by the special prosecutor. So the special prosecutor had asked them to recuse themselves. They refused to do that. In fact, they voted to drop the case, fire the special prosecutor, and interpret the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution in such a way as to give Scott Walker a get-out-of-jail-free card. So that was the context for you signing on to that. As far as Biden's proposal, how important is it? How would that function? Is it enforceable?
First of all, let me give you some background. The federal courts, except for the U.S. Supreme Court, have their own professional code of conduct, judicial. That's highly enforced. It's very clear. It's like many state codes of conduct. And actually, Wisconsin's is good on some things. It's not good on campaign contributions, but it's good on other things. But judges all over this country, you know, sign on for those things and are disciplined when they violate it. The U.S. Supreme Court is the only court in this country that has no code of ethics. And so they can do what they want. And the Chief Justice Roberts has said, well, we have our sort of own informal role, you know, but it was unenforceable. Nobody'd look at it. And there's no question that looking at what some of the justices have engaged in, particularly Justice Thomas, with his huge gifts of trips and planes and being over, you know, across the world and yachts. And there are things, you know, Justice Scalia also engaged in a little bit of that. He didn't fly, I don't know, internationally, but he stayed at expensive places with big conservative donors. And there have been other incidents with other justices. They were supposed to put it down on documents and they didn't. So now they're amending them, but there's no enforceable code of conduct and they have fought that. Mm-hmm. And every time Congress or president starts talking about it, they'll say separation of power. You can't control us. You can't control us. Well, it's time for the president and Congress to start trying to and find out what happens. Unfortunately, the arbiter of that is the U.S. Supreme Court. So, but it's I can't believe that there isn't a majority of justices or almost the majority of justices on that court, including the Chief Justice, that doesn't believe that they ought to be bound by basic ethics. And one of it is not receiving huge gifts from people who have litigation before the court or who appear regularly before the court.
I mean, it must have been an embarrassment for the Chief Justice to see all the benefit that Clarence Thomas was getting from Harlan Crowe, this far-right billionaire supporter. I mean, the Chief Justice is supposed to want to protect the prestige of the court.
Well, he'd been trying, you know, and this immunity case doesn't help him in that regard, but he'd been trying hard to try to show how independent the court is. You know, I remember during his confirmation hearings, he said, I'm just an umpire. I call him like I see him, you know, no influence. And that's really what's supposed to happen. But, you know, clearly there's a huge vested interest by a number of those justices, by particular litigants and particular companies that have interest before the court. And that's one of the reasons, if you look at the polls, the respect for that court has just tanked. I mean, that scares me, because if we can't trust the courts, our democracy is in terrible trouble.
And our democracy is in terrible trouble in a lot of ways right now.
I think the courts saved the election. You know, despite all the problems, you looked at all those attacks on the last election, and I don't know how many courts, it was tens and twenties of courts, and not one court upheld that there had been fraud that would result in changing the election. So at least the trial courts and the state courts hung in there, and I was very proud of them. And that's what you want. You want a court that's going to make some tough decisions when they need to.
And the court in Wisconsin just barely hung on by a 4-3 decision.
It was close.
Yeah. I mean, and conservative Justice Hagedorn, to his lifelong credit, was the decisive vote on that, joined the other three other liberal justices and said, this is an unprecedented ask that you're asking of the court, essentially to throw out hundreds of thousands of ballots that people cast, being told that that was a legal way to cast their ballots. The other conservative justices said they would have at least considered that idea. I often
cite Justice Hagedorn as, you know, as the kind of judge that you want in that position, because he calls him like he sees him. He is conservative, but if the merits aren't there, he doesn't go there. And, you know, I mean, I like to think I was a little, you know, people talk to me about me in the swing justice. You know, there were times that some of my dear friends were furious at me because of a vote. But that's what being a judge is about, is calling it even when it's tough.
I also like Hagedorn's temperament and his tenor, which is calm and civilized. And it's really a model, I think, of judicial conduct that he's bringing. I wish we had more time. I'd love to talk to you about restorative justice and how important that is. And
I'll do that someday. So.
All right. And I also admire that you're on the Wisconsin Alliance for Civic Trust. So you'll have to come back. I've been speaking with former Justice Jeanine Geske of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm subbing in here for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I'll be right back with the chair of the Waukesha County Dems. Thanks a lot, Justice.
Sure. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
You too.
We have to bring back law and order.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. I am back in the host chair with my head examined and Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Matinee
Chair on Air.
We were talking about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, Donald Trump. He also said that he knows how to correctly pronounce Kamala Harris's name. He just chooses not to. And so I think that kind of opens it up for us to take some liberties.
Yeah, what would be your fix to the name?
Dave from New Berlin texting in Conald.
Conald.
Dump. Also, Calvin's was Donald Trump.
Who said there's a correct one?
Except, like, it's pronounced Kamala.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.